going on, DGEN Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast. This week, for the AT&T Pebble Beach, as usual, I am here with my partner in crime, Tyler Tambolin. Tyler, what is up, my friend? Happy belated birthday.
Thank you, Kenny. We're back. Another Homa win. Homa's just dominating. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we dive in, I want to remind everyone very quickly, this show is brought to you and presented by PrizePicks.com. If you haven't yet done so, head on over to PrizePicks.com. Use promo code MMN, get yourself 100% deposit bonus up to your first $100. Lots going on over there. There's advantages to be had on weeks like this, Kenny, if you stay on top. We talk back and forth on these pods about it, but there is examples if you go on there that you can play to the course edge. This week, we've got another course rotation, 54-hole cut. There'll be lots of opportunities. So if you haven't got over there, go to prizepicks.com, use promo code MMN. Kenny, Homa gets the job done. That was incredible stuff to watch. It was a big week for Homa. I'm just going to recap it quickly, right? First of all, he's mic'd up. That was cool as fuck. I actually love that shit. I hope they bring more of that to golf. Then he goes on Twitter and dunks on our boy Wiley with the Your Mama joke.
I know.
And then lastly, he goes on to win the tournament in front of his son, young Cam Homa, great first name with the way golf is going these days, and wins for the first time as a dad, hashtag perspective. So great week overall. I enjoyed the event. It's always good. It's always a good leaderboard at the end of it. Rom played like shit on Sunday at like horrible and still finishes T7. Just all kinds of stuff, man. What were your takeaways from the event and Mr. Max Homa?
Well, I mean, the good thing about Homa is this is the third time in a row that I've had him as a cash game cornerstone and he's won. So maybe I'm the Homa whisperer. I don't know. I had him as a cash game cornerstone for the Fortinet. I had him for a cash game cornerstone for the Wells Fargo in my neck of the woods last year. And I had him as a cash game cornerstone this past week. Now, this is the first time I bet him as my cash game cornerstone. So it was a really good week. You know, cash game cornerstones went 4-4. You know, cash lineup went 6-6. I'm 8-5 now for the year. I need to still go on a little bit of a run and try and get that 70%. GPP is not great. I had 40%. Willie Z, he missed the cut, but I still only lost about 50% of my GPP bankroll, which is not bad when my highest owned guy misses the cut. It actually worked out. I was a little bit weird when I saw Rom's ownership. It was only about 35 to 45% in double ups. I thought it would be a lot more. It still worked out with his top seven out there. And of course, I had the winner. A solid week. It was a great event. I know people trash that course sometimes, but I don't know, man. I sort of like it. Like the par threes are pretty sick. Like the 11th hole, the way they have it with that little peninsula on the back right corner where they put the flag on Sundays, that shot's like impossible. Like I hit a draw. So for me, it's going to be impossible anyways. But like these guys, the last like 5-6 groups that I saw go through that, everybody was going for the hole and they were sticking it. It was amazing. These guys are so good. And then Homa made that par three. I made that birdie on that par three. And then Homa made the birdie on 16, which is another impossible par three. The iron game was just on point. Sam Ryder, you got to give him some credit. He had the lead for 63 holes, 65 holes, you know, something like that. I mean, he was first round leader. He had the lead after the second round. He had the lead after the third round. He lost the lead on 14 when he double bogeyed, right? And then Homa birdied 16 and he was two up and basically it was over, except for Keegan. Keegan came back. Keegan leading the field in strokes gained putting, first off, comes back and does his thing. Like I was a little worried about his weight loss, but I guess it doesn't really matter because he still played really, really well. Fun event, especially when you're winning. I loved watching it on Saturday. It came down to the wire. Always fun when you have something invested in it. So it was a great week for me. What'd you think about any other things you want to talk about the event?
Great week. Yeah. I was crushing it all week in showdown, like round two, solid. Kind of got my money back, but head outs to the top. Round three, same, very solid, you know, deep in like the 200 single entry, something like that. Just didn't get over the hump. And then Saturday in this case, round four was awesome because the birthday bucks, Kenny, came through. And it was nice because it's a big field. It was like 13,000 people getting second. I did 69 entries. It's impossible to lose when you play 69 entries. Everyone says 150, but 69. Side note, the $10 Fantasy Golf World Championship this week is a 69 max. So maybe there's something to it. They followed suit, but it's 2,000 people, max 69. It's always 3% of the top, I believe, is the number. So that's why officially. But I'm going with that story. But it was a great day. And the best part of it, even though it's like a 75K drop from first being 100K and second my 25K, I got blown out by like 17 points. He had like the nut optimal, like everything. He had Decky, he had Bradley with the bogey free. He had everybody, and I wasn't getting there. So it wasn't like that sense of, oh man, I was so close. I wasn't close. I just got what second place was, and it was a nice day. Rounded out the week, made it a very good week for me and a nice birthday gift. So
you got to love Tambo. Ho-hum 25K. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my goal for the year, to win one of those. And Tambo, of course, the buy-ins
reflected. I got to win a lot more than that on the year. Yeah. So we all know how that stuff works. But good start. It's been good. Like, the start of the season feels strong. The process is good. So going to keep it rolling. I would say, everyone says trust the process, Kenny. I say trust the progress, because you got to see good things happening to know if your shit's working. Like, am I in the right space? Am I getting close? And then it will come. It's a matter of time if you're playing strong. So that's my thing always. I can't really get into all the course critiques. I don't play a bunch of golf. I don't claim to know any of that stuff. I know DFS. I stick to what I know. It works out pretty well. Other than that, though, the event, like you said, some of the stuff, Morikawa thought he was going to avenge Rahm and come back and get him. I mean, first of all, he thought Rahm was going to be there. Rahm was not. Those two chips he made on that one hole, like, clicked it up and then again did it. Like, just stuff you never expect to see from John Rahm, who has great hands around the green usually. So that was wild. Nice to see guys like Decky, Finau took till the weekend, but then Friday, Saturday went off. So they'll have a little break now. We've got the Waste Management coming up after this week, then Genesis. I don't know if it's still called the Honda. Maybe this is the last year of the Honda deal, but I know Honda pulled out eventually. So I think this is the last year, and then API and lead up, but a bunch of great events. Got to get through this one, though, first, Kenny. So we can talk some listener league if you have else.
Couple of things real quick. Yeah, I added my first couple of Masters bets for this week. My first couple of futures. I went ahead and took Tony Finau 25-1. You're not going to get a better number than 25-1 from now on, because he's going to play Waste Management. He's going to play Riv. He's finished runner-up there both times. He's finished runner-up at both of those events. He's going to have a high finish here sometime soon, and that number's going to drop. I do not see it getting better than 25-1 before we get to the Masters. So I went ahead and put my bet in on Tony for 25-1. I also, and you know, and he's playing like his B, C game and still racking up the top 10s. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't really been playing well this season. He's playing okay. His putting has been saving him, but, you know, he's still finishing top 10 every event. You know, once everything starts clicking after a few more events, one thing I do like him on, he's gained some weight. I like Chubby Finau. I'm a fan. You know, in golf, you can get a little chub going. That sounded horrible. In golf, you can get a little chubby sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It won't fuck up your game. You know, it actually probably will keep you from getting injured. From what we see, all those muscular guys, they get injured all the fucking time. You know, if you're nice and fat like me, you can go out and swing, you'll be fine. I like Chubby Finau. I think he's going to win the Masters. I went ahead and put him 25-1. The second bet, Sungjae 40-1. Racking up the top 10s. 40-1 seems like a great number at this point in time, this close to the Masters. For a guy who's just racking up top 10s, has great finishes at Augusta, you know a major's going to come for his ass. Give me 40-1 on Finau, on Sungjae. So I added my two first Masters futures bets for this week. And I do have that one Tony Finau bet, top 10 at all the majors this year for 65-1.
Did you not look at adding Homa? I'm just curious, because the one bet that everyone on Twitter was running to
was
add
50-1
was Homa at Open. The Masters, because of, like you said, he's going to play Riv. He's going to play events that he's likely to do well at, again, on top of he just won. So I wasn't sure if you rushed to add that one as well.
Well, we'll see about Homa at the majors. He really hasn't performed exceptionally well at any of them yet. Maybe the PGA, or it's US Open. US Open's at LA Country Club, which is like his home event, right? He shot like 59 there. He has a course
people record. Added them at all, but the main point that people were making out of the gate was Masters, because he's going to win, and then he's won at Riv, so we'll see it again and then go from there. But I was just looking ahead, and I think he's down to like stupid number at the US Open now. It's like 25 or 28.
Yep. Quick other thing, the Rory looking like the best player. Rory and Rahm looking like the best players in the world. They're going to be playing next week and the week after. It's going to be a fun watch. Yeah. And then, of course, Patrick Reed cheating again. I love Patrick Reed. Okay, you all know this. I'm a fan. I think the sport needs villains. The motherfucker obviously cheated again. You know what I'm saying? That's what he does, I guess. You know, I mean, like, he's a cheater. That ball was not his ball that got stuck in a tree. And then, you know, he made that run on the back nine. And then Rory had to birdie the last two holes to win against a live guy. These guys can still play. Watching that this morning was fun. You know, just seeing the drama, that's the biggest story in golf, probably. Those two guys, even bigger than Max winning this past event. And that's why I want to see these live guys play more against the people. Either they're not going to go to the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour. I don't understand why they just don't let them play, because it gives them so much juice. It's sort of like the European Tour is okay being a feeder system to the PGA Tour now. And that just doesn't make any sense. You get these live guys playing every week against, you know, the guys who hate the live guys. That's drama. That's people watching. That's eyes on the product. I don't know.
We've talked about it in the past. Obviously, some confrontation and stuff would be better. I know it gets blown out of proportion. Like this week, we went from tree gate. First he flicks the tee at him. That was the tee gate. Then the tree gate, obviously the ball not being his. You know, Brandel did the whole thing. Like, it's in the first tree. Watch this. And it can't be in the third tree.
Yeah.
And they literally zoned it in and all that. And I get it all. I'm just saying without that. But even still, I think the timing of it kind of sucked. Like, I woke up to it and it had been over for 2 hours this morning. So when it happened and the time zones all kind of sucked, but I saw like all of our overseas brethren going crazy on Twitter because it obviously was nuts. It went down to the wire. I didn't get a chance to watch the replay of it yet, but just to go through it in the moment, if you're watching that live, it would have been incredible. Rory needs to make the birdie on it. I mean, wish it went to the playoff. That would have been nuts. I almost woke up when we were getting to that, but it was pretty much over when I woke up. So just looking at it from that perspective, we need that to happen though. At like the Masters, I've been one to say, it won't mean much unless it's like a big event like that, where I think everyone else makes a bigger deal of it. I don't think I've said this with the documentary. I don't think when someone watches the documentary where they got lucky in the sense of they were already recording it and then all the live stuff happened during the production of this documentary. I said that, you know, my point was, I don't think anyone's going to run and say, oh, I saw those two guys have beef on the documentary, let me go turn on the Masters. But for everybody already tuning in and who loves golf, it has nothing to do with the documentary. We're already going to be loving anything like that. If we got Rory versus Reed down the stretch at Augusta National Golf Club, then we're going to be talking with a green jacket on the line, all that stuff. Please, let's get that. That'll be when I agree and tune in for that aspect. But I'm watching it either way, so it's not going to affect the average golf fan, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably right. I mean, if you could fill in there or something, you know, it's probably more popular than Reed. You probably get a few more eyeballs. But, I mean, either way, I don't really understand what the European Tour, why they want to keep these guys out, except to just appease the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And all the PGA Tour is doing for them is, hey, you guys, the best guys in your league at the end of the year can come play on the PGA Tour and won't play on your tour anymore. Hooray. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyways, let's move on. Let's go to this past week's listener league. Fat Toad Thug Life.
What a name.
I think I've seen him up here before. Fat Toad Thug Life with the winning lineup. He had Sungjae, who finished fourth, 15% owned. He had Max, 28% owned in the listener league. Good job, guys. First place winner, of course, Hideki, who had a nice little run. Someone to keep an eye out. Looks like he's healthy. Looks like the game's coming back. He finished ninth place. He was 10% owned. Wyndham Clark, plus one, finished 37th, 10% owned. Brendan Steele, he was minus two, finished top 20, 9% owned. And Mr. Consistent, Ben Griffin, just out here week in and week out, just making cuts and collecting checks week in and week out. We get a big price jump on him this week. He finished 31st, 17% owned in the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Listener League. So what do you think of the lineup?
Yeah, really solid setup here. 3 9Ks, 3 7Ks. So no ROM, nobody above 10K, no 6Ks at all. We kind of did talk about this last week on multiple shows. I'm sure you talked about it even more after the fact, but the 8K range was definitely nowhere near what the 9K was. Like, you had Zalatoris, Thomas, M, Montgomery, Homa, Matsuyama versus like Thigala, McNeely, JJ Spong, Cam Davis. That one isn't really that close. So he took advantage of that and made sense of it here and then found the right 9K guys. And then just some good stuff there. Like, look at Wyndham Clark, T37 with 78 and a half DraftKings points versus T20 for Brandon Steele with 10 less DraftKings. But you just got to collect those Eagles. You got to get lucky in some spots, have that variance of something like Eagles fall in your favor. But overall, really strong build. The ownership was spread out. One guy, and Homa, by the way, like you said, great call to the Listener League. He was like 22% most places. So almost 30 here. A lot more people went with it. You know, your cash game cornerstone was on him. You were on him to win, probably using some of that. So that's huge as well. TK Nation, shout out to them. They've been up there plenty of times. Same with Sweet and Salty. So some other good guys that we know up top. But I got Fat Toad Thug Life into the Tournament of Champions, and we will see him in the three-man this week. Congratulations.
Nice. I love it. Yeah, it should have been my third outright of the year. Fucking Morikawa.
I'm still not over that.
Go ahead.
Of course not. That's going to take people a while, I think. But like I said, he was trying to avenge it this week, but I don't think anyone was on him either. But quick note on the Listener League. We crushed it last week. Thank you to you guys. We filled the 750 very fast. Even on a short week, we got the job done. So they've left it at 750 for this week. Going to keep it that way unless something changes. So fill it up quickly. It's on my Twitter. The main FG Degenerates one retweets as well. Get on there. Get in the league. It's $5 three max, reduced rake, $500 up top. Very balanced. Double your money to last place. And then on top of that, Kenny, they've assured me that at the players, we fill these all the way up. We can get 1,000 at the players. We can fill 1,000 at the players quick enough. We might be able to get 1,250 at the Masters. So again, we're all running in cycles here, but the more we can run this thing up, the better it is for everybody. And it's a great league to hop into every week, a great tournament with a $5 three max balanced payout structure.
Hey, football's over, guys. Join the league now.
Hop in, go water's there, warm.
Click, go join the league right now. All right, so let's get to this week. The PGA Tour, you know, it heads to, it heads to California. Stays in California this week for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Golfers, three different courses. We saw this a couple weeks ago. Pebble Beach Golf Links, Monterey Peninsula Shore Course, and a Spyglass Country Club. Cut won't be until after 54 holes, but the cut for this week, top 60 and ties, not top 65. So you'd expect 6-6 after the weekend or after Saturday to be a little bit less than normal. I mean, what happened when it went from 70 to 65? I mean, it took me forever. You know, I was horrible for a while. I just couldn't get it. And now we're going down to 60. So just remember that when you're building your lineups this week. You know, as the name suggests, it's a pro-am. Probably one of the worst events of the year to watch. 6-hour rounds. Your golfers, you know, really, really have to be patient. One reason you don't see specific type of golfers here, mostly quick playing golfers, is because they don't want to deal with this bullshit. You know, it's just a test. It's a test of patience. And I think one reason, I think for me personally, I look more at course history and events like this because, you know, guys who are used to playing this event, playing 6-hour rounds with their partner, you know, it's something that they're used to, something that I guess they enjoy because they come back and play every year. And some guys, you know, play this event really, really strong year in and year out. So, you know, I believe in the course history factor for this event. Just a couple of trends before we get into the main part of the course. Now, these trends are from last year. I didn't get to update them for this year yet. I was a little bit busy at work. So these are from last year, but still, they're pretty, you know, basic trends for this event. Only one golfer has won here in their maiden start since 1950. 10 of the last 13 winners had a top 10 here in one of their last three appearances before the win. Like I said, experience, key. Weather, of course, always could play a factor. Pebble and Monterey both hug the shoreline, making windy conditions a distinct possibility. Do I worry less about, golfers in Monterey during windy conditions? Because the course is a lot easier. If you go back in the past, 2014 Pebble Beach was the 7th most difficult course on tour. In 2015, Pebble Beach was the 45th most difficult course on tour. That's all wind weather related. So make sure you check that before you get into making your lineups this week. All right, let's get to the courses. Pebble Beach Golf Links, Classic course, 6,850-yard, 6,850-yard, par 72, four par threes, four par fives. Two of the par fives reachable by all. One won't be reachable by hardly anybody. That's 14. And one is reachable for the longer hitters. That's 18. The course hugs the coastline, making for breathtaking views, but also, you know, brutal conditions if the wind blows. Off the tee, golfers will see fairways that are above average in size with bunkers guarding the landing zones. Since this is a pro-am, I don't expect the rough to be too tall on any of the three courses, but a lot of rough around the fairways, a lot of the times the rough around these fairways aren't evenly mowed, which could lead to golfers, you know, bad, tricky lies, patchy type lies when it comes to the rough around the fairway. If golfers miss wildly, OB comes into place as nearly half the holes sit alongside the Pacific Ocean. On approach shots, golfers see tiny, tiny, tiny greens with just a bit of undulation and slope. The greens usually aren't like crazy fast here, 10 and a half, 11 on the stimp. Lots of bunkers, false fronts, surround the green. And once again, they're going to have to deal with bumpy POA greens for every single round of this event. All three courses use POA. Check your little model to see, who the best POA putters are. Spyglass, 7,000 yard, par 72, four par threes, four par fives. All the par fives should be reachable in two by most. Plus 17 is a reachable par four. Sometimes this plays as the most difficult course, in this rotation. It's between here and Pebble. It rotates a lot. A lot of the times it has to do with weather. When the weather's really, really bad, Pebble will play harder. If the weather's really, really nice, Spyglass will play just a little bit tougher. Usually over the years, sometimes that changes, but it's usually pretty close between Pebble and Spyglass. The first five holes are played, along coastal sand dunes. And after the fifth hole, the course moves majority inland. Lots more trees protecting this course. You're going to have a little bit more blockage from the wind. So like I said, if the wind blows, Pebble harder. If the wind doesn't blow, Spyglass touch harder, in my opinion. Off the tee, golfers will see average-sized fairways, just a few fairway bunkers to deal with. If golfers are wild off the tee, they're going to have to deal with trees, a little bit of water. On approach shots, they're going to see larger greens than Pebble Beach, but the greens have a lot more slope and a lot more undulation. Monterey Peninsula Shore Course is a, 7,000-yard par 71, five par threes, four par fives, easiest out of the three courses. The fairways are above average in size, and the greens are the largest of the three. Golfers need to avoid bunkers, sand dunes, and the ocean to play well this week. Tambo, what are you looking for in golfers?
Yeah, stats-wise, a lot of what you talked about, I think the bigger thing is what I'm always going to look at strategy-wise is stuff to do with this weather, wind advantages. We'll see if we get any as the week goes on. Again, a first look here, but with the three courses, 54-hole cut can be a little bit more aggressive, right? You're getting those three rounds. The 60 in ties makes it tough, but that's also, Kenny, to me, almost more reason to get after it, because if you get there, it's already a tight window to fit within, or a tighter window than usual. So there's that. And then also just like the course rotations, right? Like you said, usually if it's harder weather, Pebble Beach on Saturday has been the course you want to play, just depend if the weather's bad, because that's kind of the setup that you'll get. So again, we'll wait on weather. Courses, you'll hear it all week, the talk, short knockers, guys like that can get it around. The odds have been, I think Ron Kloss at PGA Splits 101 posted a nice little trends piece with the past winners as well. And he posted today, and I think it was like seven long shots and then like two mid-tier and four decent, like short numbers. So like just the way looking at it from that, you're not going to gain much out of that. I'm not a big course history guy ever, Kenny, but you brought it up. It's not really just the course history that's so legit with some of these guys here. It's like you said, it's almost course fit mixed with pro-am ability to be able to what's his name? Kevin Streelman. Right, cough, cough, Kevin Streelman. You see him with, who's he play with? Larry Fitz?
Larry Fitzgerald, yeah.
Yeah, so like you had that for so long. And some of these guys just have good history from way back in the day, like Jimmy Walker. We'll talk about him later. He got 13th this past week. He was actually in my lineup in round four that did well for me. His past history here was incredible. But what we've seen of Jimmy Walker lately, obviously not that great. Then you look at a guy like Jordan Spieth, though, second, third, ninth, the win back in 17, all that stuff. So really just focus on strategy side of things when it comes down to it. Like you said, the 60 in ties does make quite a big difference for me. But just in general, not too much else here, man, to get into before we hop into these tiers.
Let's get to the tiers, Tama. Go ahead and start in this 10K range.
Yeah, just talked about Spieth up top. We've got Tom Hoagie and up, obviously Tom Hoagie. getting the job done here last year. So you look at it from that perspective. But for me, it's probably a mix of these guys up top. I do think this is a stronger range than when we move down. And when you get to the 9Ks, it's pretty uncomfortable, Kenny. We've got, you know, Denny McCarthy, Matt Kuchar, Justin Rose. Putnam is 9,700. Hoagie's a little bit tougher to get to because of the same reason. Obviously played the course here well. Before last year, he had a 12th. He's playing decent golf right now. But for me, it's going to be more focused on these three guys at the top. Matty Fitz is the one that stands out the most when you look at him. He'll probably be popular, but just looking at it, six last year, changed his game quite a bit. I think we know what he did. He added some length, all that. It's not that he needs that stuff here, but just all around game. And as a player overall, he's been much better. I think you're going to like him. You mentioned him earlier to me. And then one quick side note, the U.S. amateur that was held here in 2018, Mr. Victor Hovland took down Devin Bling in the 36-hole affair. So something to note, he's got, you know, even looking back, like he's 38th, he did play it in 2020, but Hovland's the guy we haven't seen for a minute that's up here as well. And he's squeezed between Fitzpatrick, who I think becomes popular, and Spieth, who's going to be popular because his history is insane. Top 10s the last 3 years and a win, seventh in the two years before that, and then seventh, fourth, 21st, 20th, just a bunch of great finishes. Stats-wise, looks fine as well. So the main ones for me are the three at the top, and then not going to be as high on Hoagie or the guys in the 9K range when we get there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm plugging in my upside for my cash game cornerstones in this range. I'm going Spieth and Fitz to start my cash lineup, and they'll be my first two cash game cornerstones. You could do that. The pricing is not bad. The lower 7K range has a fair amount of solid golfers in it. I hate the 6K range again, so I am not going to have a 6K guy in my cash lineup again. Worked out last week. Hopefully it works this week. I'm going to go ahead and start with Jordan, of course. Course history is there. Last time we saw him, he did pull a full Keegan, but you know, I'll forgive him for that, going to a course that is extremely comfortable with. Fitzpatrick, like you said, finished sixth last year, raking off these top 10s, top 20s for the last, you know, 6 months, 7 months. That's just what he's been doing. And of course, his sixth place last year. I like both of those guys. I think both of those guys can win. I'm not going to bet them because of the numbers, but I like them both in cash. GPPs, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'll play anybody else in this range in GPPs. If I do, it'll be Hovland. We'll have to see what his ownership is. If it's low, because he's penciled in between two of the chalkier guys, then, you know, it's probably going to be him. But for now, I am not sure if I want to play another 10K guy. We will see. Let's move down to the 9K. And the name recognition isn't there. The talent level isn't there compared to the top guys, but these guys are pretty good. I like Maverick McNealy a lot this week. I bet him at, I think, 22-1, 25-1. I think a win's going to come for him. And this is, of course, where, you know, he's had success. Always better on short greens, smaller greens. POA is his best putting surface. I like Mav down here. I like Seamus as well. Another guy who's played well in the past. I'm thinking about betting him at 25-1 also. I haven't made that bet yet. If I've filled out the majority of my card, but I have room for one more bet. If I do, it's going to be Seamus at 25-1. You look at his numbers. It's not the best. You know, his iron game hasn't been great, but he just plays this course so well. And the thing is, he's really good with his wedges. You're going to see a lot of wedge play here. From 100 to 150, it's going to be like the majority of all of your approach shots. So I like Power. Who do you like in this range?
Yeah, definitely like Power. I'm in on him. I know it'll be popular, but just looking at it, like I said, 938, the stats, whatever you'll see, we'll talk about it in some other categories. I got a guy here coming up in a second, but just looking at the results too. And like he didn't play that good in his recent events and came 25th, 20th before that, third, fifth, third, first. Like the guy definitely has the upside, and he's a guy that at least I feel comfortable in this range with that price tag. Mav McNealy almost got the win here, if you remember, a couple of years back against, it ended up being Berger. Speaking of which, a guy that we are still waiting on him. He's given some updates, but not much when it relates to golf, but at least he's alive, which is good to see. I'm not sure what Daniel Berger's plan is. I did hear today, again, don't know, don't want to speculate or care that much, honestly, but that LIV is going to announce some more names. I know they just dropped their schedule, but they're going to drop some more names here soon, it sounds like. So who knows? But I haven't heard much out of Daniel Berger, so it's interesting. Obviously, last time we saw him before the recent events, he was chilling with DJ and Paulina having drinks long after DJ had already moved on. So,
I mean, you got to think if he gets in, he gets injured a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, guys who get injured a lot should definitely think hard of taking that money from Liv.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no politics involved. It's just like you said, sometimes it's better for you. It's like someone said, they're not professional golfers. You could say they're not competitive golfers is more relevant. Like maybe they don't, it's not a big competition now. They're all paid, but they're definitely the definition of professional golfers playing for the money. And that's what they're doing. They're still making money. They're playing golf for a living, making cash, obviously. So he may be better off to take that. Maybe that's what he'll do. We'll see. But bringing it back, McNealy still looks good, right? Again, you won't see the best stuff from him on the numbers, but 33rd, second, fifth here, 31st, seventh in his last two starts. At least he makes sense up in this range. I got a hard time with like Rose, Kuchar, even McCarthy. Now, McCarthy interests me a little bit just because it can turn in sometimes, Kenny, to a bit of a putting contest. And if that happens, you could definitely see where McCarthy just goes wild with that stuff. So he would be an interesting tournament play for me. And then I'm not sure how popular my guy Keith Mitchell will get, but you know, I always back him. I always play him. He's 12th here last year, 32nd 2 years before that, coming in off of a 22nd place. And then on top of it, the funny thing is, Kenny, you go to the numbers, and this is where I'm saying your models, I love it earlier, you called it your little model, like you're mocking everyone. We look at them too. Your little model will tell you that in the last 50 rounds, Keith Mitchell is third tee to green after your two top cash game cornerstones in Jordan Spieth and Matthew Fitzpatrick, which is still interesting because I always do the deep dive, and like 12 or 13, I think it's like 14 of the rounds are pretty recent still. So I know it's not the majority, but those are the good rounds that you're seeing the highest tee to green numbers in. So he's kind of dialed right now. He just has to do a little bit more at 9,100. I've got interest in him, especially because I think Joel Damon coming off the sixth here last year and everyone likes it. Our boy, I'm going to bring Baroff up a couple times today. I got one for him later. He had a great tweet this week, but and I'll elaborate on it after, but he did say today, are all you really that excited to play a guy who hasn't picked up a club in 11 weeks? We don't know for sure if he's picked one up, but it is funny. Everyone rushes to bet Joel Damon. We don't even know he had a kid, I believe. We don't know exactly, but that's why people want to go to him, I guess, because Max Homa winning as the new dad, got to have that nappy factor. So I don't know. I could play some Damon, but I like those other guys a lot better. That's why I brought that
up. If I was going to pick somebody else up there in a 9K, I'd go Putnam. Another guy who's he's been playing well enough where he can win, I think. I don't know if I'll bet him, but I mean, the guy's been playing for like, you know, the fall swing. And for now, he's been playing really, really good golf.
What was his odds, man? I thought I saw like 25 to one.
I think it was like 30 or something, 35. Okay. Maybe I saw DK. I'm not sure. I mean, you're not going to get the best numbers because this course, this, you know, the talent in this field is not the greatest. They're talented golfers. It's just you've seen better fields probably for every other event this season so far, this year. So you're going to get some shitty numbers on these guys. I mean, when I clicked Maverick at 22 to 1, I almost threw up in my mouth a little bit. But I think he can win. So, you know, fuck it. I'll put the number down. Let's go down to this 8K range. I like Detry a lot. You know, really good on shorter courses. I think he's like top 10, in strokes gained total in courses like, in the last like 50 rounds, in courses shorter than like 7,200 yards. So I'll take Detry. I'm always a big Alex Smalley fan, and he rates out really well in the model, of course. I mean, everything is just top 10, top 20. Give me a little bit of Alex Smalley this week. Taylor Moore down here. I like this 8K range. Taylor Moore's another guy who can get out there, who's shown that he's I think he had a pretty good finish here last year, if I'm not mistaken. Top 20, I think.
16th, yep.
16th, right? And then, you know, he's above average in basically everything I'm looking for. And that's rare once you get down to this level. You know what I'm saying? So I like him. And then you got Big Ben Griffin. Really big price jump, about $1,300. But the guy's just making every cut. But, you know, he hasn't really had the highest finishes. Do you play Ben?
I'm playing Ben, yeah.
You're playing Ben? Yeah, I'm thinking about it, too. Who do you like?
I was just looking up one thing here. I was trying to see Big Ben Griffin you talked about. I'm not sure the size on him, but yeah, Big Ben Griffin, good nickname. I like it. I like this. Yeah, I like this range, though. Speaking of, you talk Big Ben Griffin. You mentioned my guy. Go from the opposite of big is small, Alex Smalley. I've been on him all season so far. I'm going to stick with him. That's why, like I said, I can bypass a bunch of those 9K guys here. This is opposite of last week. I like my guys there, but I don't think it's like blow me away. I need this 9K range over this 8K range. I think they're all the same dude. I'm going to stick with my guy, Taylor Pendrith. I'm going to stick with Thomas Dietrich, Smalley, Griffin, Burmeister, Lipsky's my guy. I like him. I guess that's the majority.
Nick Taylor. This is a Nick Taylor course. That's
yeah. He won here, obviously, 2020, 14th last year. He looks good too. I don't know. Mullinex, I've heard some love. I'm not going to play all these guys. I'm just saying, like, this range appeals to me much more than the 9K, where I'm comfortable with. If I just play the three guys up top, pick three or four in the 9K, I can blast this range, because I'm telling you right now, you know, spoiler alert, not going to be many guys in that 6K range, not cash or GPP. I don't like enough of them or see much with any of them. And we have, again, such a huge 7K range that how many guys do we got in the 7Ks? We're about to go there. We got 42 guys in there. Like, you can easily pick your 15, 20, round out your pool, and then hope you've got the mix that's proper. So, yeah, not much for me, but I do like this 8K range quite a bit, Kenny.
I think EVR could be a sleeper, someone who's not very highly owned. You know, his iron game's great. The worst part of his game is, of course, his driver. You don't have to use driver all the time at this course. The only problem is when he does, if he misses bad, shit could go fucking anywhere, like into the middle of the goddamn Pacific Ocean. Something to worry about. But I think the upside's there. And, you know, he wears joggers. We saw the jogger narrative last week. I what do you think of that? I can't wear that. I feel like my ankles
work out. I
feel like my ankles would get cold.
Yeah, no, I get that's not. You also got to have that look, like EVR and Ryder fit. They're like tall, slender dudes that can pull that off. It ain't gonna work for me. But I will say this: the Phil Mickelson came back to Twitter. Mickelson tweet. I just said Phil came back to Twitter, and the Phil Mickelson tweet was like, you know, kind of a shot that they can wear. You know, they can't wear shorts, but they can wear these ankle biters on TV and all this stuff. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny seeing Phil back. He was making fun of how, you know, Rory was on over at the Saudi event and all this stuff. Like, I don't know. It was just a lot of back and forth. So love Phil when he's on Twitter, at least that makes it good, but not much else on EVR for me. I'll let you take that sleeper one. I'll probably skip that one.
Let's go to the 7K range. A couple of guys that I like: Robbie Shelton, really, really good short game. Having a good short game is important. The greener regulation percentage here is very, very low. There's going to be missed greens. You are going at Pebble. You're going to have to get it up and down a good amount. Shelton's definitely good with his wedges right around the greens. He's solid. S.H. Kim, another guy that I'll play. His short game hasn't been the best since he's been on tour, but that's what he was known for on the Korn Ferry Tour, his short game and his putting. Maybe that could come back to a little bit of fruition. He played well last week on a course I didn't think would suit him. You know, he's not exceptionally long off the tee. And he was, you know, inside the top 10 until Sunday or until Saturday, I think, before he dropped out and had a pretty poor round. But I could get in touch. I like him. Who else? I'm thinking about Lanto. I mean, he looked decent last week on his way back. I mean, you sort of want to get back. You know, he used to be someone that you think about rostering week in and week out before his injury. You know, he played decent last week. I could go for another shot. You always want to try and go early on guys like this. So I can go back on Lanto. Who do you like in the top range before we get to the bottom?
A lot of my guys that I always play. I like Davis Riley. I like Will Gordon still. I mean, he solid history somewhat, you know, and solid stats, but he hasn't been great the last couple of weeks, but I think he does stand out still. I like him. He played here at that USAM that Victor won as well. So it's just interesting. I think he made the Elite Eight or whatever you want to call it there, kind of got down to the final eight. Riley as well. Should note, same thing. He was in that final eight also. So a couple of guys for that note, but I like your Shelton call. I like Nick Hardy, Scott Stallings, and then maybe some Kurt Kitayama. That's kind of where it looks like from right now.
So on the lower half, I got two of my two last cash game cornerstones. First is Russell Knox at $7,500. You know, course history, great. He's making a ton of cuts here recently. Stat-wise, he's first in 100 to 100, approximately from 100, 125, and second from 125 to 150 in the last 50 rounds. You know, like I said, this is a wedge fest. That's probably why he plays so well at this event. Give me Russell Knox as my third cash game cornerstone. My final cash game cornerstone is going to be Troy Merritt, another course history type guy. The stats aren't going to line it up, but the guy plays well this course. He plays well at Birdie Fest. He has the upside to get, you know, for a top 10 finish at this event at $7,200. Give me a little bit of Troy Merritt. So my cash game cornerstones for this week, they're going to be Jordan Spieth at 10,800. Matthew Fitzpatrick at 10,100. Russell Knox at 7,500. And I forgot my Troy Merritt, 7,200. Those are going to be my four cash game cornerstones. Leaves you 14,600 to finish out the rest of your lineup. Other guys I do like down here in this range, I do like Callum Tarran. Decent play last week. Iron game always strong. Makes a lot of birdies. Short game is solid. So give me a little bit of him. Beefy Bo Hostler. You know, another guy who played well here in the past. I think he was in the final group on a Sunday, either last year or the year before.
Yeah, he got third last year.
Yeah, there you go. And so, you know, he knows how to putt on POA. After that, it's pretty dry for me, Tambo. Who do you like in this lower 7K?
You stole my shit, though, because I was about to respond when you said Big Ben Griffin. I was going to take it and say, actually, it's Big Bo Hostler because same height. A lot more poundage if you look it up.
Beefy Bo
sounds better. So I like that one, but I do like him. Four of his last five made cuts here. Stats are solid, can do it. And he got third last year, so you got to like that. Joey B. Bramlett. I was calling him Joey B. last week. He's the 13th. I don't know what's better. Like 13th is not a win, so you can't maybe say better than Burrow, but Burrow obviously not a good ending to his season going out in the championship there before the Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks. So maybe
also,
Joey
B.
Bramlett.
Idiot. Number 59 and number 58 for the Bengals.
Give him a break.
What
man.
A fucking moron.
Bad timing, but yes, you know, legit penalty moron. At the end there.
I mean, of course, I had money on the Bengals. That's the only reason I'm angry.
Of course, yeah. I like Joey B. Bramlett. I like my guy Matthew Neesmith. Grayson Sig, another one that popped for me. I think he's good.
I could go with Sig.
Yeah, Sig is good. I bet him. I'll talk about him after. Justin Suh, Callum Tarran. Who else in this range? Was somebody else?
Justin Suh? Quietly been making like every cut.
Yeah.
Finishing like 55th. But like, you know, I think last week he finished a little bit higher. He's making every cut.
Yeah. And it only takes one of those weeks. Like we talk about all the time. Sometimes that 55th looks so horrible on paper. There can be scoring that goes with it at a course like this too. It's like, you got to realize sometimes it's two or three strokes and that's a 25th or a 22nd. Yeah. And then you're saying something completely different over two or three strokes. So I agree with you on that one. A couple other guys, Ben Taylor, 7,200, another Ben. The Bens have been coming out every year. Last year's the Cams, and you got different guys. This is the Bens, Ben Griffin, Ben Taylor. Can go to those dudes. Kevin Streelman.
Got to name my kid like Cameron Benjamin Kim.
Yeah, that's actually great. I like that call. Get all the mixed into one. And then Kevin Streelman, you talk, but six of his last seven made cuts, 13th, 2nd, 7th, 6th, 14th, 17th. Nothing worse than a 17th in the six made cuts here. Last seven times he's played it, so... do with that what you will. I'm not a course history guy, but that's something about that. It's just the comfortability and all that. You can throw them out there at 7,100 if you want. Anybody else for you in this 7K range and above? There's, you know, some guys. Eric Barnes came through last week. It was all putter, I will say that, but he did come through at 6,300. Now he's up to 7K. Anybody else here that you could
Chubba
go with?
Hubbard, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Hubbard. I mean, the numbers are there, but he hasn't been playing very well. Here recently. I mean, just looking at the stats, it seems like, oh, he should play him, but he hasn't been great. I don't know.
Stevens, I think, played pretty good last week, too. I had him in some stuff. He came T13.
Yeah, he did play well last week.
Somebody else there that's different. Carl Wan, we've been playing. Dylan Fratelli, we've been playing. Like, those guys you could play if you wanted, but I prefer the other guys we talked about more.
Yeah, when we go 6Ks, I only got a couple. Jimmy Walker played well last week, plays well here. Old guy, this is an old guy course. You don't have to bomb it out there. Maybe you can make a little bit of some noise. Malnati had a top 20 last year. Last week, his iron game was really, really good. And everyone knows Malnati is, you know, a putter. If his iron game stays the same, they can putt better this week. I mean, shit, another top 20 is not out of the question. Give me Malnati. Ryan Armour, short courses, coastal courses. You just play him. I don't know. Other than that, maybe Brian Stewart, because you always play Brian Stewart when you play Ryan Armour. Brian Stewart's one of the best putters on POA in this field in the last 50. That's about it, brother. What do you got?
Yeah, I deleted some of those guys you said already. I already got them off the sheet early on day one. That tells you where I'm at. But I don't know. I guess it's just as bad. Like Hadley showed up. Hadley and Jimmy Walker had older history, so I kind of like that. Even though it's a little bit older, Jimmy Walker showed up. Recently played well. Hadley has not been playing well, but he's got some decent history here in the past. Maybe he could pop. Who else did I have here? Eric Cole, Mayo's guy. I didn't play him any of the weeks earlier. I went off him with him last week. I wasn't on the show, but played Barnes. He liked him too, and he worked out solid. But maybe go back to Eric Cole so I don't hate him. Peter Malnati, who you mentioned up there, is fine. Ben Martin. I mean, these guys are just not guys I'm interested in. One thing I want, I said I would bring this up and we'll round it out with this, but Baroff, again, our resident fill-in, Ryan Baroff, this guy's hilarious. He posted, he really got James Hahn bad. I'm not sure if you saw the tweet. James Hahn tries to always like stick up for Liv and say something. And then he was like, listen, James, they don't want you. Only Timothy Frank at Fantasy Golfman, another great follow on Twitter. He says, only he is a fan of yours. Like nobody else wants you. And James Hahn did not respond. He used to dunk on people, but I thought it was an incredible tweet because either James Hahn just wants the bag so damn bad, not a bag of chips. We know he doesn't want them eating those chips, but he wants the bag of money from Liv, or he's injured and needs to collect that money fast or owes money, or maybe he's down bad. I don't know.
He's withdrawn a couple of times here recently,
why,
right?
He's got to be something going on with him because why does he try? He does this all the time with his tweets. Like he's got like at least three or four of them where he's trying to like stick up for them and get on their side. So I'm not sure what James Hahn has going on or what he needs, but man, he was getting crushed by Baroff last week. That was a good tweet.
From say him. Anything about Liv on Twitter, you're going to get crushed. Doesn't fucking matter.
I thought it was hilarious. Anything else here down in this range before we go to bets? Nah.
One and done. One and done last week. I had Homa. Moved into 40th place in a Mayo Cup very early. 30
the more we joke about left. It, it might come true. We might have to cut things
off. So, I mean, at this point in time, if you're that high up, just pick the good players. So I'm going Spieth or Mav.
Okay. That's funny. That's the guys I originally had teed up, but I'm so bad at it. So last week I used Rahman one just to try and keep him going. And then I used Willie Z. Because I was like, where am I saving Willie for? You know, I already don't like the guy that much. I was like, at least it's a spot. He literally was in a playoff last year. What happens? He blew it on the round two there. So I don't know who I would use here, man. Like, again, I don't know where I'd be saving Matty Fitz for. Maybe I could just pull the trigger on him. You can use him places. People are going to tell you, oh, there's angles. You could use him here, there. You can use him anywhere. I'm just saying I think it's a good fit for him. And it's a weak field. And I think he's really better than a lot of these guys in it. So Spieth, if you wanted to use him, Mav, Fitzpatrick. I don't know. And then it'd be like taking a shot, Kenny, on some of these guys down below. I don't really like taking a shot here. Even though you can get some outsiders winning, I prefer to have those guys and just collect as much cash as possible and hope they hit the top. What do you got for bets?
All right, for bets this week, I got Mav at 22-1. Ben Griffin, 65-1. Taylor Moore, 75-1. SH Kim, 80-1. Troy Merritt, 100-1. Peter Malnati, 250-1. And then I think I'm going to add one more. It's either going to be Putnam or Power. I'll figure that out by the time I release my final article on Wednesday.
Speaking of Power, Seamus, that's my first guy. Power, 25. It's down to, I think, 20 or 22 in some places now, so I was happy with that. I missed 28, but I'll take it. The rest of these guys I got with the T8 each way. Smalley at 50, Lipsky at 70, Neesmith at 75, Grayson Sig at 100, and Callum Tarran at 125. You spoke on him earlier. Really like him this week at 125. Think he can, I don't know, it seems like a better setup for him. Played good last week. I've been waiting for him to do sort of the all-the-way thing, and that's what we'll need here. So I'm good with Callum Tarran at 125. Anybody else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, that's it, man. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my article on GupsCorner.com. Use promo code Kenny. Save yourself 30% on a membership to Gups Corner. They got the new tools. They got the green screen. It's pretty money over there. And it includes all sports. So go over and check out Gups Corner.
Yeah, find me on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo. People asked last week, I said, like, I let people know, but then they still follow up. The tidbits will not be out if there's a short week like last week. Like, you don't even get most of the info until Tuesday. I can't post it with like 8 hours to play, basically. So they'll be back every Wednesday is when they come out. Follow me on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo. They'll be back out this week and every week thereafter that we get the Wednesday and the normal Thursday start. So you'll see that. Head on over to RunPeerSports.com. If you guys want to get signed up, now's the time. All sports, one price. Golf, football's over pretty much. We'll have the Super Bowl showdown. Got all the stuff with all the other sports, but golf is back. So check us out there. Use promo code TAMBO15 for 15% off your first payment.
All right. So, guys, are you ready for the worst TV viewing week of the year? I am. Let's win some motherfucking money. DGEN Nation.
I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly. My third. Jordan Belfort.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.